Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Clint, let's take a look at this because the Texans, this is a big game for them, obviously, and they need to come away and get to 1-1 at home. You don't want to lose at home to a really good Bucs team. As we talked to J.C. Allen yesterday, who covers the Bucs for Sports Illustrated, saying they've got Super Bowl aspirations. They're trying to take the next step as the Texans are, and they're 1-0. What are some of the key matchups in this game between the Bucs and the Houston Texans?
Well, I got a couple of them on the defensive side of the football. Yeah. I know we've talked a lot of offense, man, and the offense has got so many things that they've got to be better at, so many decisions that they've got to make before they ever take the field that's going to help them. I mean, we can. There's a long laundry list of matchups there that we can talk about. Let's talk about the defense, though. Look, the fact you mentioned it earlier, the fact that the Buccaneers have you know, tackles right now that are all of their tackle options right now are dealing with some level of an injury, or they are a guard playing outside. And so when I look at the Bucs tackles and the way their quarterback stylistically loves to hold the football, they love to drive the football down the field, I think the matchup to watch is Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter, which we can say every week, but when they're going against tackles that are banged up or tackles that aren't necessarily ramped up or guys that are coming off of a, you know, 2 or 3 or 4 week hiatus because of an injury, there is a real advantage there, Ryan. So I think it starts for me with the Texans defense, which is their identity and where it all starts and stops with the Texans. And literally within that defense, the two lead horses are Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter. And so I think it starts there versus some tackles that appear to be beat up.
Yeah, and listen, in most games, Clint, I think they should be winning that battle anyway.
Yes,
When you have Danielle Hunter and Will Anderson coming off the edges, especially in important downs.
Yep.
But they damn sure should not just win this one. This should be a dominant performance. There are certain matchups in games where you could watch and it's like, all right, you may have had a game plan coming in, but because they are playing in such a way, you may be forced to have to change things around. You may force them to have to go quick game or force them to have to do things or run the football. That is something that you would think that D'Amico should be able to have an advantage with those two against those tackles.
Well, look, we watched the game last night, and look, the Washington Commanders they traded for Laremy Tunsil, obviously, and drafted another tackle in the first round. They've got some serious draft capital and monies tied up in their tackles. And last night, when you look at what Green Bay was able to do defensively. And obviously Michael Parsons is out there, but he wasn't the only one hunting last night. He wasn't the only one causing problems. What's big boy's name?
Sean Geary.
There you go. He got him one last night, if not multiple. So, you know, I think that is what you look for is you know, that's what you compare them to. I mean, they those two guys, that Green Bay defense was going against a pretty good, definitely on the edges, pretty good offensive line for Washington, and they created havoc all night long and made life hell for Jaden Daniels. And so, you know, that's what you got to expect the Texans to do week in, week out, but definitely this week when you've got a guy like Baker Mayfield who wants to hold the football and drive it down the field.
I'm with you on that. I look for, especially if one of them are out, I look for a dominant performance from those two guys. Hell's going on over here.
That's where I'll start right there. I'll start right there at the tackles for the Texans. I mean, for the Bucs with Hunter and Anderson. And then I'm gonna move. You mentioned this earlier, and I think we've kind of danced around it a little bit. And I don't want to make a mountain out of a molehill with it, but the Derek Stingley Jr. is so important for this defense. I mean, he's got to be a guy that's a lockdown corner. He's got to be a guy that in critical situations, which we've talked about, right? One of the answers to Jalen Petrie getting matched up on Puka Nacua or Davante Adams in crunch time. One of the answers, one of the things that can keep that from happening is if you lock Derek Stingley Jr. up on the opponent, the opponent's best wide receiver, which is always an option. So I know he didn't play maybe up to expectations last week, but Derek Stingley is one of the best corners in the league. I think this week, I don't know if it's Evans. I would imagine that it is Evans. But Derek Stingley Jr. Being able to match up in critical situations with Evans or Ibuka or whoever it is to eliminate them from the game plan, that matchup is big this week too. I mean, because again, the identity of the Texans is their defense, and if Derek Stingley Jr. and the two defensive ends can play at or above their ceilings, you're going to be able to win a lot of football games.
Yeah, because it didn't seem like he did it last week. Right, they got Adams and Nacua.
Yeah,
he was on Adams more, but it didn't seem like it was a deal. All right, you just have him the whole way, because we even saw Adams get in the slot and get matched up against linebackers or safeties too. It'd be interesting if he says, "All right, man, I'm gonna put Stingley on one of these two guys." Especially if Chris Godwin is unable to go.
Well, they're going to have to eliminate the motion where you put a tight end outside or a lesser receiver outside and bring your horse inside in the slot. If that's all teams have to do to get somebody matched up on Jalen Petrie, they're going to eat our lunch all year long. And so the way you combat that is you say, Derek Stingley Jr., you got Evans anywhere he goes. If he motions in, you go with him, and then we'll bump it outside. Like that is an easy fix. And I don't know. Look, I start the game this week just like I started it last week. And if you keep the score down 14 or less through 3.5, 4 quarters, and you're doing a good job. But if at any point in time you feel like the Bucs have a bead on what you're doing, which they will, you put too much on film last week, they're going to have to adjust some things. Stingley then gives you the option to go, hey, you follow Evans anywhere he goes. And we're going to do – we may play man opposite. We may play some kind of hybrid zone opposite. But, damn it, you're taking Evans out of this ball game. And that matchup is going to be key. It was a rough first week for Stingley, no doubt about it. I think the fact that the Rams were willing to go, we're going to go at him. We're going to go at him. We're just going to go at your best player because we feel like our guy's better. And they got the best of Derek Stingley a couple of times last week. It wasn't his best game, but I've not lost any confidence. I think you got to lean into that even more this week.
Oh, yeah. I mean, some guys are going to get you. Davante Adams and Matt Stafford are a pretty good combination.
Yeah, they've been at it a while.
Yeah, they're a pretty good combination. All right. Also, I think one thing here, and I was talking to Tyler about this earlier because CJ was talking about this. I think this is another key to the game as well. CJ was talking about how they have to help out Nick Caley and spoke about the things that they need to do that kind of can create one of the matchups that needs to be adjusted in this game. Here is CJ Stroud talking about helping his offensive coordinator and the team and the offense helping him.
We gotta help Kels out, man. I think that's my biggest thing personally, and I think for the guys is not giving. What play are you gonna call on 2nd and 15, 2nd and 25? And we've had these problems for years, you know. So 3rd and 14, 3rd and 12, like you can't live in that. And we do our coach a discourtesy of that when that's controllable by us. So I think that's a start. Personally, I gotta be better. Just pocket movements and, you know, checking the ball down when I need to check it down. And at the same time, staying aggressive. So, I think we just need to build a rhythm early on better. And I think we'll be better from that.
All right, that's CJ talking about how they can help their OC out. And listen, I think he's accurate in some of those things he's saying. And they could help him out with some of the pre-snap penalties. But also, I think a big adjustment in this game, Clint, has to be Nick Caley better in the early downs. I don't think it was just them. I think also he's gotta get a better feel, and obviously this is his first time calling plays, but he's gotta get a better feel for things early on in downs and a better feel of what his team is able to do, his offense is able to do out there, so they're not in those situations.
Yeah, look, man, I mean, I just wholeheartedly disagree with the notion that D'Amico and CJ are floating out there. I mean, obviously, football 101, penalties are going to kill you. Obviously, if you get into second and long and third and long, however it happens, it makes things more difficult. But we can't get in those situations and then pout about it. Like, right, I mean, at the end of the day, your offensive coordinator has to be a weapon in all situations, but definitely if you get into second and 20, okay, we got to be a little bit more aggressive. I mean, hell, I can go out there and run it on second down and then go, oh, well, it's third and 12, man. I'm really got my hand, I'm handcuffed. I can't do anything. Like, they got to figure out a plan about to combat those situations. You don't whine about, you know, what, you know, how you were behind the chains several times. You go out there and you adjust and you have a plan and you make it happen. Look, it's true. The team can't contend. The more they put their offensive coordinator in a position where he's got to make second and third and long calls, obviously it's a tough spot to be in. But, damn it, that's why you get paid $1 million a year, is to go out there and make them kind of calls and figure it out. And yeah. So, you know, that's – while I agree with the overall notion, I don't like the, well, we got to help.
I agree with the notion that they've got to do better in the early down.
Yeah.
But I think, yeah, it's some of them, but I think also they got to, just like last year.
Yeah.
they weren't put in the best situation early in downs. Well, and I think it's the same thing.
This is one of those cuts, audio cuts, you know, off of just the X's and O's of it, is that, like, I love, like, you hear the difference in CJ. Like, I can't wait for the moment when CJ comes into his own and doesn't care what anybody else thinks. Right? Like, CJ talked about, like, remember when he was talking about the center? They asked him about Jarrett Patterson?
Slime.
And called him slime. Well, that's obviously just authentic. But then he went into, like, unfortunately, man, I spent a lot of time taking snaps from a second string center. You know, like right there, he goes, hey, man, it's happened a lot. It happened way too much since I've been here.
Yeah.
Being in second and long and third and long. Damn it, we got to get better.
Yeah.
Ain't no, I got to help this guy. I got to help that guy. Now y'all all collectively have to be better.
Yeah.
You know what you can do to be better? Get the ball to Nico Collins on first down. That's one way you can get better. You know what you can do? You can do to get better is, how about early in a game when you're on the road? Let's just snap the ball on the first down. Let's not hold the line at the line of scrimmage and get a false start, right? Figure it out. There's answers to it. And this whole, we got to help this guy. No, if y'all mess up, let's be honest. This is the way I feel. When the team messes, we're out there playing. When the team messes up, and whether it's a penalty or a sack or whatever, all right, coach, we are in a second and long. We're in a second and 15 situation. Help me out, man. This is when I need you. Hell, I don't need you on third and two.
Yeah.
I don't need you on second and five. I mean, I need you. I need you as a weapon on second and 12. That's when I need you the most. And that's – that's to me is where this team's got to get at some point. They got to get to there. And it's early in the season. Hopefully they'll get there.